broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. This is the broadcast for May 31st in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio, the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land. The Constitution for the United States of America is indeed our guide. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, and we're convinced that checks and balances are one of the brilliant solutions that we still have at our fingertips. Thank heavens to the founding fathers and their incredible legacy that we ought to honor and carry forward. It is a wonderful, elongated Memorial Day weekend, and it is Memorial Day. Welcome to what, the last Monday in May? Is that how it is? All right, welcome to the broadcast. What is Memorial Day? Most folks don't even know. They just say it's time to party and barbecue and have a good time and, I don't know, view pornography and do whatever they do for their pastimes. And the problem is we're losing sight of what really is important. We're not cognizant of who's sacrificed and the liberties we have as a result of their sacrifice and service and love and dedication to all things critical. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. The good Dr. Scott Bradley is in the house. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com, his collegiate series and lifelong pursuit to preserve the nation, his weekly webinars, his collegiate series, and a whole lot more, well over 1,000 videos available at freedomsrisingsun.com. But he makes time for us even on Memorial Day. Welcome to the broadcast, Dr. Bradley.
Well, thank you, Sam, and I'm glad we're able to listen to all your, at least visit with all your faithful listeners. This is a very appropriate day to be talking about liberty and so on, and honestly, as you point out, we have lost the origins of this day. It first started in 1868, and it's been modified from a day of memorial for those that lost their lives in warfare to a day where everybody goes and decorates the graves of Grandma and Grandpa and everybody else and lost ones. And that's very appropriate, too. But then there's the holiday instead of the holy day kind of concept that's crept into what everything happens in America. You know, it's nice and wonderful to have picnics with loved ones and everything. But I think we need to sometimes give pause to the price that's been paid for our liberty, and there's a whole lot we could talk about. I mean, an unbelievable amount. But I hope in our discussions we don't come to glorify war, but to recognize the solemnity of it and how it's the last full measure for so many, and it is the most onerous burden that any nation bears at any time, and that's why the founders put the limits and bounds upon it that they did, and there's very honorable and noble logic that went into this stuff. And so as we talk about the lost loved ones, we give honor to them. But in addition to that, I think we ought to, and maybe I'm taking this on a different path than you would have taken it, but I'm very concerned that we enter into this most onerous burden without, and not only due process, but due consideration to its costs. And those that have lost loved ones, those that have suffered, you know, not just a loss of life, but limb and mental capacity. I've got, for example, he's dead now, but I had an uncle that I always say he died in 1943, but he didn't know it until 1963. I mean, the burdens he bore for the next 20 years he was in his own hell himself while he lived in his mortal body. And what a tragic thing. You think of the loved ones that suffer after the loss of loved ones. And this onerous burden is something that must not be entered into with the frivolity that we do today. There were checks and balances. There was processes that needed to be. I mean, I could give you statement after statement by the American founding fathers as to why they did what they did. And they knew the burden of it. And honestly, those that have been in combat, understand that the guy on the receiving end of the round you're sending downrange is probably no more complicit in the thing than you are. It's one of those things where bad leadership needs to be called out on this thing. I am absolutely convinced that with an appropriate foreign policy and with diplomats rather than warmongers sitting in the high places, with people that held sacred the gift of life that God has given us, I think there would be far fewer battles and far more of the goodness of, you know, you think about what the angels said at the birth of the Savior, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. You think about, you know, what Isaiah said, wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. War mocks the Prince of Peace. And sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes, but by the way, the list of reasons we go to war should be very, 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 very short. And the Founding Fathers knew that most of the time wars occurred because of one leader's pique against another pique. I mean, here they got ticked off at them, they're going to take it, and the people, it's not their battle until it becomes their grief because of what is onerously put on them. And so our list should be, I mean, I really believe it should be really boiled down to our ability to worship and serve our God, our ability to provide and protect for our families. We have very to live in freedom and peace. I mean, this idea of the freemen standing between their loved ones and war's desolation, that's what the image is. And it's not something that is carried out for foreign war, for treaties, for issues that don't, you know, I mean, you think about it. I mean, we could talk at length about, George Washington's farewell address, what he talked about, our intrigues with foreign powers, with people we're currently involved in engagement because of people overseas insisting that we be there to fight their battles. We have people that would take to their death the desire to take the whole nation to their death if they could support a given nation. And really, this idea of going to war for all the reasons we are today without following the processes that were outlined by the American Founding Fathers, it's diabolical. It's satanic. It is wickedness to the core. And the 1.8 million Americans that have died since this whole thing started back in Lexington, so few of them died because of just wars. Now, I'm not in any way denigrating their sacrifices, their loved ones' sacrifices. I mean, this is not the purpose of it. You know, I mean, let me just quote General Douglas MacArthur's farewell address at West Point. He says, duty, honor, country, those three hallowed words reverently dictate what you ought to be. He's talking to those that would fight America's battles, the gray line, if you will, long gray line of those that had gone through West Point. Anyway, they are your rallying points, to build courage when courage seems to fail, to regain faith when there seems to be little cause for faith, to create hope when hope becomes forlorn. You are the leaven which binds together the entire fabric of our national system of defense. From your ranks come the great captains who hold the nation's destiny in their hands the moment the war tocsin sounds. The long gray line has never failed us. Were you to do so, a million ghosts in olive drab and brown khaki and blue and gray would rise from their white crosses, thundering those magic words, duty, honor, country. This does not mean you are warmongers. Now, that's the thing that we've forgotten today. Now, I'm going to go on with just another sentence, but think about that for a minute. Most people today believe that you can only be a patriot if you're a warmonger. But this is, I mean, if you read the whole farewell address, you'll hear words of men that have slogged through the mud, that have been there on the most dreary times. But he said, this does not mean you are warmongers. On the contrary, the soldier above all other people prays for peace, for he must suffer and bear the deepest wounds and scars of the war. So here we have today a bunch of armchair generals, if you will, sitting in high places in this nation that are willing to throw our brave young people into battle. And honestly, it is a tragic travesty to think that we go to war for the reasons we do today with as little justification. There rarely have been foreign wars, French and Indian wars or whatever, that have less, I guess I should say, justification as a just war than the ones we are engaged in today, and we are sending our people there. Again, I'm not denigrating the people that are willing to go and fight and die. What I'm denigrating is bad leadership. We have terrible leadership that has no understanding of the true cost of these things, and they're willing to sacrifice our best and brightest, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor on battlefields that we should not be involved in. So I think today is a day to not only remember the great sacrifices, the tremendous burdens that have been borne, but also to call ourselves to task, if you will, to turn back to the truths that were originally established and turn from the falsehood that we're following today for false reasons. It sounds like we've got to take a break.
Amen. Dr. Bradley, hang tight. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. FreedomsRisingSun.com. I am Sam Bushman. We are live and wishing you a happy Memorial Day. But let's talk in more detail about what this day really means, who we are. True patriots are not warmongers. They do what's necessary, but they pray and work for peace.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Dr. Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. FreedomsRisingSun.com. We are live for Memorial Day, wishing you a happy Memorial Day. But ladies and gentlemen, this is serious indeed. Please take time with your loved ones and friends on this Memorial Day to reflect on the cost, the freedom, and the responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, to defend and promote our liberties. Sadly, honoring fallen heroes is not commonplace any longer in America, or even around the world for that matter. And unless future generations are taught clearly so they understand that freedom was purchased at a great price, then we are likely to not understand, and Memorial Day will become the true meaning of Memorial Day will just become a memory. We need to understand the sacrifice those who have made for her, meaning America. We need to understand a Memorial Day message from Tim Wildman. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. The commitment, courage, and sacrifice of those who gave their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honors to secure the blessings of freedom for their fellow citizens should never be taken for granted. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand who we are. We need to understand our godly and our American heritage. And as far as I can tell, this whole broadcast, this hour today, is dedicated to this understanding and hopefully an awakening for those who have not given it the credence it deserves or the credit that it deserves, and an awakening for those who may not have even been aware. I think we've lost much more than we realize. Some say it could become a faded memory. I think it already has become to a great degree. So we need to awaken the people to understand who we are and what sacrifices have been made to define who we are. And then going forward in their legacy and in their honor, committing to nothing less than the same, Dr. Bradley.
Well, absolutely. And if, I mean, we can tie this into so many different things. We think about the diabolical effort to destroy our agency, our gift of liberty, our proper government, all the things that we were granted at such great cost. The thing that 1.8 million died for since Lexington, and in addition, those that have lost loved ones, which is millions more, those that have suffered being maimed and crippled, and like I talked about my uncle that suffered for 20 years afterwards, and really, in my opinion, died in 1943, but he was laid in a grave in 1963. There are those that have exhibited, and you know, it's a little more benign, we might say, in today's world where they're destroying our liberty. But honestly, I truly believe that those that are seeking to overthrow the liberty of our God-given liberty that is a gift from our Father, I don't believe there's those that are leading us along this wicked path. There's no innocence they wouldn't violate. There's no virtue they wouldn't corrupt. There's no purity they would hold sacred. There's no truth they wouldn't smear. There's no principle they wouldn't destroy. There's no life they would not take as they seek to perpetrate the crime of the ages, destroying mankind's God-given agency, his freedom of choice and his liberty. I believe that there are those in high places today that are wheedling our liberty, our freedom, our agency, our proper government away from us, and I believe that the battle is going on now. And honestly, if you think about what's happened for the last 14 or 15 months, absolutely absurd what we have done in destroying this nation that was granted to us at such great cost, and so many that pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, and blood has been spilt for this, and we have rolled over to the fools that we have at the head of this government. And literally, I'm not sure that we really know who all of them are. I think there are people behind the scenes. You talk about the deep state or the CFR or whomever. But this has been a planned destruction of agency, and it is a war. And you say, well, where's the casualties? Where's the, you know, who's sending rounds downrange? Whatever. They have done things that have caused the loss of lives. And personally, I'm absolutely convinced that this medical procedure that they're jabbing in everybody's arms is going to have a long-term destructive effect too. And I think maybe, we ought to be thinking about those that have lost their lives in these things, the suicides, the people that have taken their lives because of the destruction of their business, the hope they had of the future. I mean, if they haven't physically taken their lives, they've lost hope. They've lost their lives, the light of their eyes has gone out, if you will, because of what we've done. This is something that is a universal, diabolical thing, and while we consider the lives lost in actual shooting wars, if you will, I think that this war, even though it's not a shooting war, it's a war that continues, and it has raged since the beginning of time, because of diabolical machinations that are seeking to overthrow the gifts of God. And so, yeah, this is a pretty broad subject. And if you want to talk about war, we've got plenty we could talk about. We could talk about the words of the American Founding Fathers and why they set these processes up that were set up. They understood But we have stopped following them. And even though we had our last declared war in World War II, we have never ended war once the United Nations came into being. And honestly, we
sadly, that's a fact. Sadly, that's a fact, and that's by design, Dr. Bradley. I want to talk about war for a teeny bit, but then I want to move to the Founding Fathers and to the morality of the people who occupy this nation, because we need to understand that really the morality of individuals translates to the morality of families, and society is nothing more than a mirror of the morality or lack thereof of its individuals and families. It's not a collective discussion at all. And I bring that up on purpose, but we'll get to that in a minute. I want to talk about this war mentality. We've become a warlike people, sadly. And we praise war, and we praise those who go to war. And I agree with you. I'm not here to attack those who are willing to fight for our country. And I'm not here to attack those who go under a certain premise and then find out it's a little different than they had, a lot different, I should say, than they had expected. And they aren't fighting for what they thought they were and all that kind of stuff. I am saddened for those people who have been deceived about what we're fighting for, what we're not, the games we're playing on the international stage, etc. But I want to make one point about war on this Memorial Day that's critical, and I don't want to get off on a tangent about it, but I do want to highlight it. If we would return to honest money, if we were to return to the honest weights and measures of the Bible and of our founding document, the supreme law of the land, the states shall make nothing for the payment of debt except for gold and silver coinage. They would not have the ability to manipulate currency, and they would not have the ability to go to such unprecedented, constant war, whether it be United Nations, whether it be the United States, whether it be justified, whether it be not, whether it be ongoing forever, or, you know, start and stop wars, whatever, or rumors of wars, and the military-industrial complex. Look, if we would get a handle on our money, ladies and gentlemen, and chain them down with the Constitution and honest money, these wars would stop because there'd be no way to fund them. But as long as we let the dishonest money counterfeiters, the United States government, in bed with the banking cartel, create endless money, there's no stopping shenanigans. There's no stopping them from their belligerent mischief. There's no stopping the military-industrial complex for filthy lucre and blood and carnage to destroy the people worldwide. And the only way to stop it is to chain them down with the Constitution and return to honest money. I want to highlight that very clearly because it echoes through all generations of time, the abuses that dishonest money has plagued the people with. It's always been the same, Doctor.
Well, you know, you bring up an excellent point, and it's often or almost always overlooked. I mean, follow the money. That's one of the, it should be our war cry, if you will. Follow the money with this medical procedure. They're jabbing everybody's arm. Who is qui bono? Who benefits? It's those that are taking the money in their pockets. Those that go to war. Think of the Rothschilds and what they've done for hundreds of years, funding war on both sides. Both that money is a racket for making. I mean, money. War is a racket for making money for those that manipulate the currency. And whether it's the Rothschilds or the Morgans or whomever, I mean, you look at what brought us literally into World War I, probably one of the most ludicrous wars that our nation has ever been involved in. And we've been involved in a lot of them, a lot of very unjust wars. But the fact of the matter is that we were drawn in by the money mongers. It was because they were funding both sides, and they had more at risk if France and England lost, and they pulled us into war. I mean, Woodrow Wilson, his shenanigans, and everything that went along with that, his cabal of people that were there with him, you know, the Edward Mandel House, and well, we could talk about the Dulles brothers and everybody else, but that follow the money. Follow the money. That's what war's about.
Ladies and gentlemen, if we could chain them down with honest money, we could jettison a lot of the mischief they're getting into, war being the chief among them. Quick pause on your radio with Dr. Bradley.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
As the Chinese government says they're done investigating the origins of the coronavirus pandemic and blame it on nature, many in the scientific community says there's nothing natural about this virus and are pointing at a Wuhan, China laboratory as the source. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on Fox News says this is a cover-up by the Chinese government.
It's all circumstantial, to be sure. The people who could clean this up, the people who could answer these questions, have refused to do so. The Chinese Communist Party knows where this came from. They know who patient zero was. They could fix this. If I'm wrong, they could embarrass Mike Pompeo. Come on, bring it. Show the world that this didn't come from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. They're not going to do that because they know that they covered this up in the same way that Chernobyl was covered up for so long. And we saw the same results. Millions of people dead.
It is Memorial Day 2021. Couple wise reminders. Don't wish anyone a happy Memorial Day. This is not Christmas. And don't disregard its importance. USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allyn for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals. Bailout broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce silver eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Allyn Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
The infrastructure debate lingers on with questions about what is infrastructure. Now deadlines have been drawn in the sand. Jeremy Scott from the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau reports.
An apparent deadline has been set for a bipartisan deal to be reached on the Biden administration's infrastructure bill. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg tells CNN's State of the Union that the president will look to act without the support of Republicans if they can't come to a consensus.
By the time that they return, which is June 7th, we need a clear direction. Certainly encouraging to see the healthy conversations that have happened over the last days and weeks. But the president keeps saying inaction is not an option, and time is not unlimited here.
The plan from Republicans is around $250 billion, a far cry from the president's $1.7 trillion.
Introducing Mr. and Mrs. Boris Johnson. The British Prime Minister married his environmental activist sweetheart, Carrie Simmons, after they secretly tied the knot in London on Saturday. This is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman talking about Memorial Day. What a blessed day that it can be and should be. The commitment, the courage, the sacrifice of those who gave their lives, their honors, and their sacred fortunes to secure freedom for their fellow citizens. I pray we can do the same. We should never take them for granted, ladies and gentlemen. This is not just a cookout barbecue day, although there's nothing wrong with those things. But you got to contemplate, you got to understand, and most importantly, honoring fallen heroes is not commonplace any longer. Unless future generations are taught that their freedom was purchased at a great price, the meaning of Memorial Day may be lost. Please take time with your family and friends on this Memorial Day to make sure they understand the cost of freedom and our responsibility to defend and preserve liberty. It is the great war in heaven continued on the earth. It is a reality check for you, my fellow Americans, to use your agency between good and evil. Which will you choose? Whom will be your master? God Almighty or Satan himself? Or will you just stay in the middle and get hit by traffic going both directions because you can't decide? If you choose not to decide, you've still made a choice. But war is brought on primarily by filthy lucre, dishonest money that allows them to buy up all kinds of military hardware in the military-industrial complex and then fund both sides of war. And out of the carnage and the destruction and the disaster in its wake, do they steal liberty? Sometimes it's stealth. Sometimes it's blatantly in your face. Most of the time it's somewhere in between. But beware and awake and arise and understand agency is at stake. Liberty is on the altar. And we, the people, have the, in my opinion, the deciding balance. Will we do nothing and let evil prosper? Or will we stand as vanguards of the sacred cause? Will we rise up as patriotic Americans and do our duty as was done before our day? In these last days, as we await the return of the Savior Jesus Christ, will we stand tall and be among the wise virgins? I pray, Dr. Bradley, the answer is a resounding yes.
But the people will have a hard time returning to those things if they have never contemplated them. They've never considered them. I will quote St. George Tucker. I always introduce him as the preeminent constitutional scholar of the founding era. And this is what he said about war. And we don't think about this today. This is not the way we think. It's like, let's take Lindsey Graham, for example. Lindsey Graham never saw a conflict in the world he didn't want to kill some Marines in. He wanted to send some expeditionary force over there to get blown up. I mean, if the kinetic energy of war is really, really destructive to the human body. And they're willing to throw people into that, have them torn limb from limb. And it's not our monkey, usually. Here's what Tucker said. The term war embraces the extremes of human misery and iniquity, and is alike the offspring of one and the parent of the other. Human misery and iniquity. Think about that. Offspring and the parent. Okay, going on. See, there's eloquence in these words that we rarely think about today. Going on with Tucker. What else is the history of war from the earliest ages to the present moment but an afflicting detail of the sufferings and calamities of mankind resulting from the ambition, usurpation, animosities, resentments, piques, intrigues, avarice, rapacity, oppressions, murders, assassinations, and other crimes of the few possessing power? How rare are the instances of a just war? How few of those which are thus denominated have had their existence in a national injury? The personal claims of the sovereign are confounded with the interests of the nation over which he presides, and his private grievances or complaints are transferred to the people who are thus made the victims of a quarrel in which they have no part until they become principals in it by their sufferings. Now, we don't have to do that. He went on to say, war would be banished from the face of the earth were nations instead of princes, meaning presidents or senators or whomever, were nations instead of princes to decide upon their necessity. Injustice can never be the collective sentiment of a people emerged from barbarism. Happy the nation where people are the arbiters of their own interests and their own conduct. Happy were it for the world did the people of all nations possess this power. We possess the power as a people. We have abrogated our responsibility as a people. We have handed it, well, see, Congress is the ones closest to those that would suffer the depredations of war, the ones that would pay for the war, the ones that would shed their blood in it. Congress was representing those people. Congress was to take a deliberate action and enter it because of just causes. And it wasn't to be ever delegated to anybody. It cannot be delegated. It couldn't go to the president. It can't go through a treaty. Southeast Asia, the stuff that happened in Vietnam was through a treaty. It was carried out by a subset of the United Nations, the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, which was a regional arrangement under the United Nations. NATO, currently in Afghanistan, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. You look at what's gone on in Bosnia with NATO and United Nations before that. These things are carried out under the auspices of internationalist organizations that are beyond the Constitution in terms of what should be ruling and being the principal form of government in this nation. But we have forgotten these things, and we have allowed good, wonderful people to be slaughtered on the battlefield and loved ones left behind. I mean, the tragic things that have happened. Lives are changed. I mean, God can only fix these things. And we have been so remiss in how we've gone into these things. And so, yes, if they're follow the money, as we say, the people that are trying to do this for money purposes, And we arm other nations around the world. That's a whole other topic we could talk about. We're the biggest arms dealer in the world. I mean, you talk about Adnan Khashoggi, the guy that that was an arms dealer back in the 70s and 80s. He was a piker compared to what the United States is. The billions upon billions that we've put into wars, and we're supplying the absolute slaughter. You think about the women and children, the farmers, the people that are that have no interest in any of these things that are happening, that are being torn to bits by the technology that we're sending overseas. Oh yeah, it's good for the economy, you bet. Mm-hmm. And so there's some industries, the military industry complex that benefits from this. There's the bankers that benefit from this. There's the politicians that keep getting their coffers filled by the lobbyists that are pushing for different things. There are people pushing their national, these are international people, pushing their national interests in our Congress so that we will go to war on their behalf. And we, if not at least on the battlefield with them, boots on the ground, we're at least providing their military weaponry. You and I, what, 5-6 years ago, were in Washington, D.C., when the Ukraine was there before our Congress. We sat in the peanut gallery of the Congress and listened to the people praise these people in the Ukraine. They were following an oligarch that we were being asked to fund so that they could have their oligarch remain in power instead of having Putin intervene. Who's worse, Hitler or Stalin? Think about some of these people that we're behind someday, and we make allies out of people that should never. They have no purpose in having us. So we don't go abroad to search for monsters to destroy, paraphrasing John Quincy Adams, but we're the arbiters of our own future, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But we have forgotten that in America, and we've engaged ourselves all over the world. The sun never sets on a U.S. war. I mean, you know, the old saying about the sun never sets on the British Empire. We have got stuff going on all over the world. But we have for the last century and a half, when we lost track of the founder's view. I mean, you look at all of this stupid insurrections, we call them, where people are fighting against American troops being on their soil, and nobody can ever say why we're there. It's just absurd. And good people are dying because of that. And I weep because of that. And by the way, some people that have maybe never faced combat might find it difficult to think why former opponents in war, the grunts, if you will, that were shooting at each other across some distance, why they can get together and you know, kind of celebrate collaborate and maybe fraternize when, I mean, they were bitter enemies. They were trying to kill each other not that long before. But it's the leadership that brought them to that point. I mean, you think about what happened in 1914 at Christmas time when across the trenches, you know, they started singing Christmas carols. The guys got out and celebrated, exchanged gifts, and then they went back to the trenches and started shooting each other again. Their leadership were complicit and devils incarnate, I think.
Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. My question is this: how do we pray for peace, work for peace in such a warlike people nation? How do we turn it around? Is it just war and money, or is there more to it? Quick pause.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, back to the live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Bradley, Sam Bushman, final segment live on Memorial Day. Pray for peace around the world. Work hard and pray that we might all prosper. Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business indeed. Reject unjust wars and stand for peace wherever you are. Stand in holy places for peace. So, Dr. Bradley, no doubt money is the trail that you need to follow. No doubt we've become a warlike people. No doubt we're led around by the nose by those who are dishonest and lie. No doubt the war in heaven continues on earth today, and we as agents need to choose whom we will serve, God Almighty or Satan, peace or war. God on the side of peace, Satan on the side of war and destruction. But, you know, there's more behind this than just money and war and the military-industrial complex and everything else. I think behind this is a propaganda campaign, because I believe when most people get the right information, they will choose what's right. Most people are far from perfect. You know what? We're a fallen people, and without Jesus Christ and his infinite sacrifice, we're all cooked. But you know what? If we turn to God and repent and work hard on it, he will heal us. He will protect us. He will make up the difference to the grace of the atonement. And I bring that up because there's more here than meets the eye. There's a big propaganda campaign underpinning all of this to where the people don't get the information. As you wisely mentioned, you know, people aren't getting this information. They're not getting the information that they need to contemplate and think about these things. And so we really need to address this, in my opinion, this propaganda campaign underlying this whole movement of a warlike people, this whole idea that we just... hey, let everybody go to war and kill everybody. Don't worry about it. Let God sort them out idea. And this idea that we're just going to make it a wonderful day for a cookout and nothing more. This is all because of an undergirding propaganda campaign. I mean, it reminds me of back in the day in America, we had Operation Mockingbird. We had the CIA manipulating the media, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to really point that out, that underlying this whole thing is this massive propaganda campaign to make sure that people don't get the truth, because when they do, they feel it in their hearts and in their souls, and they gravitate towards it. They just do, Doctor.
Well, a few minutes ago, we were talking about how there is a war that's ongoing. I mean, it may not be a shooting war within our streets right there at this moment, but this war, a propaganda war, a war that deceives and leads people away and ultimately will destroy their physical bodies, at least, maybe not their souls, but maybe it will. But that is absolutely true. This propaganda war is absolutely real, and it's being carried out. You know, we need to turn our hearts back, as you point out, to God, and we need to start looking at original sources, if you will. We need to go back to the source of our very lives, the source of our freedom, our liberty, everything. That's what the Founding Fathers did. And it brings to mind something, and it's someone I knew back in the 70s, a great spiritual leader. Didn't know him as good as I wanted to or would have liked to still, but he's dead now. But his name was Spencer W. Kimball. And he put out a document in 1976. It should be required reading for all people. It's called The False Gods We Worship. And we, as a modern people, think we're cosmopolitan, sophisticated, and everything. We wouldn't worship the makings of our hands, you know, like Moloch and these little idols that they worshipped, or the calf and everything else like that. But he indicts us. He had some very insightful positions on this. I'll just quote a slight amount from what he said in that document. He says, "We are a warlike people, easily distracted from our assignment of preparing for the coming of the Lord. When enemies rise up, we commit vast resources to the fabrication of gods of stone and steel, ships, planes, missiles, fortifications, and depend on them for protection and deliverance." By the way, I might say physicians and scientists and pharma companies, okay? You can put in our current situation very easily into this, going on with what he said, we eat and depend on them for protection and deliverance. I'll just parenthetically state, why couldn't we have looked to God in this so-called pandemic? Anyway, go on. "When threatened, we become anti-enemy instead of pro-kingdom of God. We train a man in the art of war and call him a patriot, thus in the manner of Satan's counterfeit of true patriotism, perverting the Savior's teachings. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Anyway, you know, it goes on with Matthew chapter 5. And then he goes on in the next paragraph. "We forget that if we are righteous, the Lord will either not suffer our enemies to come upon us, and this is the special promise of the inhabitants of the land of the Americas, or he will fight our battles for us," and he references scriptures in all of this. "To name only two references of many, he is able to do, for as he said in the time of his betrayal, 'Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?'" Okay, so then he talks about, he says, "Can we imagine what fearsome soldiers they would be? King Jehoshaphat and his people were delivered by such a troop. And when Elijah's life was threatened, he comforted his servant by saying, 'Fear not, they that be with us are more than they that be with them.' The Lord then opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire round about Elijah." And then he talks about others that have been delivered, and not to go on and belabor the point, but the fact of the matter is, we have turned our hearts as a people to false gods, workings of our hands. And whether it's the workings of pharmacies and physicians and researchers and the big politicians, or it's people that are making tanks and artillery shells, and we have turned our hearts to that rather than the true God that we should be looking to. And yes, there are times that war is necessary, and sometimes we will be engaged. But think of Gideon and what he started with, a big army, ended up with 300 because God was with him. He did it God's way. And we as a people have turned our hearts away from the true deliverance. Our Savior is no longer Jesus Christ in this land. Sadly, I know there are some. I pray and hope that I'll qualify to be considered or convicted, if you will, of being a disciple of Christ. But sadly, most people in America no longer look to Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are looking to pharma, to military-industrial complexes, to politicians. We have forgotten who our true Savior is, and that's where we need to come back to. We need to turn our hearts back to there so that we can have peace and freedom, so we can worship our God and take upon us our Savior's name, so that we can have the blessings of liberty, so that we can live in truth, so that we can provide for and protect and live with, enjoy our wives and our children. Those are the kinds of things, when our hearts are right with God, that we need to return to. And in my opinion, we as a people may need to be humbled to the point that we can do that. And I don't know when that humbling will be, but I would far rather
humble
myself
on my own
accord.
Well, you see the start of it with the pandemic. You see the start of it with the pandemic. You see the start of it with the changes in society where people are locked down. More people have been waking up as we see their real hand than ever before. And so, you know what? Things are starting to change. I can't control who does what. As Chuck Harder used to say, you know what? We can't solve the world by 3 o'clock. We can't solve the world's problems by 3 o'clock. But we can do what's within our sphere. We can stand up boldly, nobly, independently for the sacred cause. We can turn to God, family, and country and use our sphere of influence to encourage others to do the same. And that which we can do, we shall do. It's that simple. And ladies and gentlemen, I know some in some ways we sound like a broken record on your radio, but I tell you, these are the solutions. These are the real answers, and we will advocate them or for them for the day until the day we die. Okay, these are sacred, these are real, and especially on Memorial Day, we will quadruple down in defense of God, family, and country. Chris from Utah wants to say a quick word. Hi, Chris. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Yes, Sam and Scott. It's very hard to add to what you guys have said, because what you guys have said is true, but I will give it my best shot. So in foreign wars of aggression, we then become the aggressors. And the blood of innocent men, women, and children are not only on our politicians' hands, they are on our hands as the people that elect those politicians. And I'm calling America out. I'm saying, if you have voted for a Donald Trump or a Joe Biden or a Barack Obama or any of these other warmongers who either start or continue wars of aggression in foreign lands, you now have innocent blood on your hands. Because, you know, there's just one or two degrees of separation between us and them. And we cannot go on in this way and expect God to favor us as a nation and celebrate and stand boldly in front of the American flag with our hearts, with our hands over our hearts, thinking that we're doing good. We are not. We need to withdraw from these countries, and we need to repent of our sins of foreign wars of aggression. And brethren, I thank you for your service today and for standing up for the cause of liberty on Memorial Day. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. We'll let Chris fly. In the meantime, Dr. Bradley, I agree generally with Chris's point. I don't want to go too far into saying individuals have blood on their hands because they may ignorantly vote for someone. Voting for somebody ignorantly or not understanding what they're really committing to is a lot of the propaganda that I highlighted that you mentioned at the start that people don't really realize. And how can they understand these things if they don't contemplate them? So I do believe that we do have, to some degree, blood on our hands as a nation, without question. But individualistically, I want to be very careful, because I'm not a judge in Israel. And I want to be very careful of how accountable someone really is before God in relation to such things. And so I don't disagree with the general point being made, but I want to be careful not to be out of line with how heavy of a burden or a responsibility individuals may have. Your thoughts, Doctor?
Well, you know, Sam, I think that, I mean, I hear what you're both saying, but I think we need to quit brushing this off as something, oh, the other guy's responsible. I believe God holds a people responsible for their actions if they are in a free land. We as a people have got the vote. I mean, I know it's been stolen from us recently and everything in large measure, but the fact of the matter is that we the people create the government that we have, and we need to quit being giving ourselves a pass on this thing. We need to study the issues. We need to contemplate them. And I think the greater culpability always lies with the scoundrels that carry out these things, the Hitlers and the FDRs and the George Bushes. And the, you know, I will throw more people in that pot than you could possibly imagine that I believe have been scoundrels over us. But we, the people, need to take responsibility. We need to say, this is the government that we, the people, have created. And I believe God does hold us responsible. To what measure? I don't know. I mean, he's the one that's going to end up
and that's
being our judge.
And my point is, for example, you and I on the radio and Chris urging people to promote peace and stand for peace and advocate for peace. And, you know, we've done all that we can within our sphere and within our power. And I think that makes our skirts clean, as the scriptures would kind of say. I think that
I
makes
sure
us
didn't
not
vote for any of the turkeys that are doing it.
Yeah. Amen. Agreed. And neither did I. And that's Chris's point, and I generally agree with that point. I just want to make it to where people don't run around and feel like they're responsible for all the wars of the world individually, because I don't really see it that way. I think we need to do all that we can within our sphere of influence, within our understanding, and be accountable to do what's right to the best of our ability. And I think if we do that, Jesus Christ will know who we are, and he will make up the difference because of the great atonement. What a blessing that is. We celebrate God, family, and country on Memorial Day, ladies and gentlemen, and highly recommend you do the same. Thank you so much, Dr. Scott Bradley.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
FreedomsRisingSun.com is his website. Weekly webinars and a whole lot more. Check it out. Worth all your time, money, and more. For Sam and Dr. Bradley, Chris Carlson, and Lowell Nelson, God save the Republic.